Hey everybody, thank you so much for tuning back in to Wicked Good Sports. We have another full episode. Today we're going to be talking about my beloved Dolphins. Blowing it. I knew they would. I knew it. Shouldn't have picked them to make the playoffs. That is on me, and I'll have to live with that. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Eagles. Did they throw the game versus the Washington football team? I would never want to accuse anyone of throwing a game, but why take Jalen Hurts out? I don't know. We'll talk about it. Then, unfortunately, we have to talk a little bit about the firings that went on around the league. We got a few of them in as of recording. Might be more by the time this comes out. If I miss that, I apologize. And then, on a brighter note, we're going to be covering the AFC and NFC matchups for the playoffs. You don't want to miss it, so stay tuned. The Miami Dolphins, my beloved football team, lost 56-26 on Sunday to the rival and red-hot Buffalo Bills. And it was awful, just a terrible, terrible matchup. I wasn't able to watch it live, so I had to watch it back after knowing the final score, which was, you know, just bordering on masochism. But I did it. I went through it. I watched it. And I guess my main takeaways are the Bills are so good. The Dolphins, 10-6, they're going to miss the playoffs. But they are an okay team. But they're not a playoff team. They didn't deserve to be there. I guess better week 17 than first round of the playoffs to get blown out. Still would have been nice to get there. It feels like this was a great season. Don't get me wrong. They were 5-11 last year. They were called the worst team in all of football. And maybe the worst team in the history of football after the first 2 weeks of the season. And Brian Flores really did a bang-up job at the end of last season, as well as the entirety of this season. He probably won't win Coach of the Year now that he missed the playoffs, but I do hope he gets some votes, and I do think one day he will win Coach of the Year because he's just that good of a coach. But again, by missing the playoffs, it kind of feels like the job he's done is almost wasted. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but him, Xavier Howard, 10 interceptions, most since Antonio Cromartie in 2007. But again, we were talking about maybe he could be defensive MVP. Stephon Gilmore won it last year. Probably not. Again, didn't make playoffs. It's, of course, always a bitter pill to swallow where they went 10-6, which would get you into the playoffs in a lot of years and would have easily gotten them into the playoffs had they been in the NFC, where we have the Washington football team getting in at 7-9, and the Chicago Bears getting in at 8-8. But I digress. You can only play who's in front of you, and you can only play in the conference that you're in. The Dolphins, at the end of the day, they didn't get it done. A lot of the players and coaches have publicly said, like, yeah, we didn't get it done. We didn't play well. We don't deserve, you know, the pity of missing the playoffs. And I think that's a good attitude. A lot of people are saying two is a bust straight up. I don't necessarily buy into that at all. I think he had a bad game. One interception was a poor throw that bounced off the hands of one of his receivers and was intercepted. The other, Devontae Parker, just fell down and it was intercepted. And then the third interception he threw was a bad pass. He did have a nice touchdown in garbage time. Not that that really matters. But, you know, I think it's still valuable to have gotten him experience. I know a lot of people want to say they would have made the playoffs had Ryan Fitzpatrick been the starter. I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't necessarily believe that's a slam dunk 100% thing. I just think he's a good player who is capable of playing really, really poorly at times. And there are certain games that I do feel like Tua, by playing more conservatively, gave the Dolphins a better chance to win than Ryan Fitzpatrick would have had he been in there. And then on the other side of the coin, especially the game in Denver, maybe if Ryan Fitzpatrick had played that, where they came out just completely flat after an early scoring drive, set up by an Xavien Howard interception and then just did nothing for the rest of the game, maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick can win them that game. And if they win that, they make the playoffs, provided they win all the other games. That's, again, not a foregone conclusion. It's so hard to play this hypothetical game of whether or not the Dolphins would have made the playoffs with Fitzpatrick. And in saying that, I think it was very important to get to some help. Well, it's going to be very important to get to some help in the future, primarily around wide receivers and also offensive line. He has one of the lowest average time to throws, as well as, I think, the lowest average separation for his receivers. So that's a really bad combination, of course. And hopefully that can only get better, but I think it was important and valuable to get him playing time, because coming off of that hip, no one really knew how he was going to respond, how he was going to do. So I think he ultimately was a solid player, 6-3, including a loss to Kansas City, where he really put the team on his back to get them back into the game late. And I'm happy with Tua. I know Justin Herbert has extremely flashy numbers, though in fairness, when he played the Dolphins, he did look not great until garbage time, where he threw for a majority of his, no, maybe not a majority, but he definitely padded the stats in garbage time of that one. So I'm still happy with Tua. It would be interested to see him get better weapons and be given a real shot with an off season, you know, more time away from that devastating injury he suffered at Alabama. And I think, all things considered, the future is very bright in Miami, but the present, and especially that 56-26 game, was especially bleak. So my next story, oh man, this is a spicy one. The Eagles, trailing 17-14, benched rookie quarterback Jalen Hurts, and I'm not going to be out here trying to sugarcoat it. Jalen Hurts played fairly poorly. He was 7 of 20 for 72 yards and interception. However, he also added 2 rushing touchdowns, and really, the Eagles suck, straight up. He was putting the team on his back as much as possible. He gave them the best chance to actually win the game, but he decided, Doug Peterson, I should say, decided to bench him in a 3-point game where they can knock the Washington football team, their rival, out of the playoffs in favor of Nate Sudfeld. That's ridiculous. And Nate played very poorly. He went 5 of 12 for 32 yards, an interception, and a fumble on back-to-back drives. And it was just, it led to the football team going up 20-14. And they weren't going to get anything done with Sudfeld in there. I don't understand it. Giants players on Twitter, I'll put some up on the screen. They were not happy, obviously. They were questioning why Jalen Hurts was out of the game. I guess earlier in the game, or rather earlier in the week, Doug Peterson said, I want to get Sudfeld some snaps. And that makes sense if you have a big lead or you're trailing by a lot. But I think it would have been more valuable to get the rookie quarterback who you spent a second round draft pick on some experience and some, you know, clutch potential performances out of him. I mean, it is perplexing. Again, no one ever wants to lose purposely, but that just seemed like a intentional throwing of the game moment, as much as you can get away with in the NFL. Let me know what you think about that in the comments down below. Do you think I'm overreacting? I know if you're a Giants fan, you're probably right there with me saying, no, that was bullshit. Hurts should have stayed in the game. I would really love to hear from you. Get your opinions in the comments down below. But let's kind of talk about what that means for the playoffs. Like I said, earlier in the day, the Giants had defeated the Cowboys to move to 6-10, which any other year, any other division, even this year, 6-10, you've been out of it. It's been a while, but because the NFC East has been so lackluster, really terrible, just an awful division this year, that you had a chance to make the playoffs if the Washington football team also finished 6-10. And if they had lost to the Eagles, they would have. That didn't happen. My prediction, again, was the Giants would win the division because I thought, hey, there's a chance Washington football team, especially after the last couple of weeks when Dwayne Haskins was their quarterback, could lose this. They did not. They won. They're 7-9. They're in the playoffs. And good for them. And I think the biggest storyline out of this is Alex Smith. Well, he didn't play amazing. The fact that he's playing at all is like a borderline miracle. The man almost died. It's been well covered. 19 surgeries, an infection. They said he'd never walk again. They said he would certainly never play football again if he ever did walk again. He proved that wrong. He fought back, and somebody needs to get his rights to his life story. Because let's say even they get destroyed in the playoffs, which, spoiler for a future segment on this show, I do believe they will get pretty easily handled by the Buccaneers in the playoffs. It's still a victory and a huge accomplishment for him to, one, play again, and two, lead his team to the playoffs, regardless of if it's 7-9. So big shout out to the Washington football team. Amazing job. And I guess we'll see. It's not out of the realm of possibilities that defense, and Chase Young in particular, is definitely going to be Defensive Rookie of the Year, can cause Brady some problems. Maybe steal a win from the Buccaneers, though I don't find it particularly likely. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. And let's move on to who got fired this season. So, with the NFL season ending on Sunday, it's time for Black Monday, which in the NFL means when a lot of coaches get fired for their performance. We'll start off with one that I am actually a little bit surprised about. Anthony Lynn, he's won 4 straight games with the Chargers. They're 7-9. They have Justin Herbert. They could, I think, have a bright future with him. He gets let go after 2 straight losing seasons. The season before, they went 12-4, beat the Ravens in the playoffs. I am a bit surprised that he got let go. I thought maybe he coached pretty well down the stretch. The team played very well, especially compared to how they were playing before. And furthermore, like, he is a few late game things going his way away from 8-8, 9-7, and probably not making the playoffs this year just because the AFC was so stout, and even 10-6 didn't get you the 7th seed this year. But he was in it, and he could have potentially produced a winning season here. But maybe the fact that Justin Herbert played out of his mind, set a record for rookie touchdown passes, and it kind of showed the ownership, like, we need to find someone who's, like, a very talented offensive mind. Not that Anthony Lynn isn't, you know, he's a professional. You know, he's a professional running back. He knows offensive well, but these days it's all about, you know, people who can really implement innovative offenses. And I think with the talent that San Diego has on offense, if they can get, you know, their own Sean McVay, their own Kyle Shanahan, watch out. I know it sucks because they're in the same division as the Chiefs, and, I mean, how are you going to get past the Chiefs? But they could be fighting for a wild card for a long time now with that roster, so we'll see what happens there. A much less surprising firing, the Jets fired Adam Gase. I mean, 9 wins in 2 years, 7-9 last year, 2-14 this year. Those 2 wins this year were unfortunate because it knocked him out of the first overall pick. Granted, after watching the college football playoffs this past weekend, maybe Justin Fields could be a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. Maybe, we'll see. He certainly looked like it on Saturday. Trevor Lawrence had decent stats, but if you watch that game, he looked bad. Clemson entirely looked bad. So, getting back to Adam Gase, as a Dolphins fan, I know Adam Gase. If you're watching this and you're a Dolphins fan, you know what Adam Gase is about. The best way I can put it is, like, he will win games he shouldn't win. And then in games he should win, you'll always feel like your team could blow it at any moment. I think most of his wins were by one score when he was in Miami. And it just, like, that's not a sustainable way to play. And oftentimes his teams would get blown out and it would be over, you know, by halftime. Very similar with this year with the Jets. I was extremely surprised the Jets gave him a job. I realized he was, I want to say 3-1, maybe even 5-1 against the Jets in his time in Miami. And maybe that's all they looked into. Like, hey, every time he comes here, he kicks our butts. Let's give him a job. But he'll find a job somewhere else. I've heard the Patriots. I've heard Alabama. Someplace where he can rehab his image. And maybe one day he will get another shot at being a head coach. Though everything he's shown so far, he really doesn't deserve another chance as a head coach. But maybe he can be a good offensive coordinator somewhere. We will see. Another one that wasn't that surprising was Doug Marrone. A little disappointing for him, I'm sure, because he was a tank commander for sure this year. He put in Mike Glennon for whatever reason several times, refused to start Gardner Minshew, only put Gardner Minshew in when games were out of reach. There's certainly a falling out there. I'll be interested to see if Gardner Minshew sticks around. Probably not, just because they're going to be drafting a new quarterback and you don't want someone who I think potentially could come in and play well, and then you question why you're starting the rookie quarterback versus this third-year guy. I don't think he's going to stick around. But yeah, Doug Marrone, just brutal. 1-15, 15-game losing streak. Most of the games weren't particularly close. There's really no surprise there. Not a ton more to say about him, because they just need a fresh start in Jacksonville. I know the owner said that he was the GM this year and he's going to continue to be the GM, which is dumb. That's always dumb. Jerry Jones tries it too. And I just don't like that. I think you need to bring someone in whose sole focus, goal, and ambition in life is to put together a solid and competitive NFL roster. I get that a lot of these billionaires probably think that they can do anything and be successful at anything because they've been successful in other parts of life. But I don't think you can. I think this is a pretty highly specialized field, and only people who have spent, you know, the majority of their career studying it and trying to learn how to put together an NFL roster can be successful at it. But hey, maybe the Jaguars will win the Super Bowl. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I don't think so. Also a little bit surprising was John Elway is stepping down as Broncos general manager. He had a up and down tenure. Of course, everyone knows that if not for him, Peyton Manning would have gone elsewhere. Peyton Manning going to the Broncos led to two Super Bowl appearances, one where they won, though of course carried by the defense that season. So from that stance, he did well. He knocked that out of the park. What he didn't do well was finding a replacement for Peyton Manning. It's a long-standing joke that John Elway would just draft tall quarterbacks. He loved tall quarterbacks, Brock Osweiler, Drew Locke, Trevor Siemian. He just, Paxton Lynch. Do you remember Paxton Lynch? Maybe not, because I don't know if he even started a game, but he was a first-round pick. So that's especially embarrassing. I feel for him. I think, like any other former athlete, he wants to be still in it, still competing in some regard, and I think he still will be with the Broncos organization. But I think overall, this is a good decision by him to step down and let, again, someone whose sole ambition is to run an NFL team. All right, so from the losers to the winners, let's talk playoffs. Covered it at the top of the show. Still disappointing. Dolphins did not make the playoffs in a year where it really seemed like there was a chance for it to happen. But I digress. Let's talk about the people who actually made it, the teams that actually were able to not get blown out the last week of the season and get themselves into the playoffs. We'll start off with the one seed, the Chiefs. They got a bye week. This is huge. They are, I don't know if it's like especially obvious, but they're really banged up, and they definitely needed these 2 weeks to just, you know, rehab, get healthy, and make a push for their second straight Super Bowl. Other than that, we got the Bills at 13-3. Jesus. They really had a great season. They're going to be playing the 7th seed Colts in Buffalo. There's going to be some fans in attendance, which will be good for them. I look forward to the videos of people diving through flaming tables that will inevitably come across my feed on Saturday or Sunday, whichever day this takes place. I have been a Josh Allen, I guess hater would be the right word. He had an amazing season, but every time I think of Josh Allen, I just cannot help but picture him lateraling the ball backwards for no reason against the Texans in the playoffs last year. But I know he's not that guy. I know he plays a lot better. I know Stephon Diggs has been a huge addition, led the league in receptions and reception yards. But the Colts, they have a decent defense. I don't trust Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers has never given me a reason to trust him in the playoffs or even in the regular season. Oftentimes, at the end of games, he would be that guy to throw a game-sealing interception for the Chargers to lose. But he has a chance to rewrite history. And I think this could be his last year. And let's be honest, guys. He's a Hall of Famer from stats. He's 5th on the all-time touchdown list. He wins the Super Bowl. It's no doubt. He's the opposite of Eli Manning, ironically, considering they were traded for one another during the draft. But he's the opposite in the sense that I believe Eli Manning is a slam dunk Hall of Famer, not based on his numbers, but based on those 2 Super Bowls, some of the most impressive Super Bowl wins and playoff runs I've ever seen. Phillip Rivers doesn't have that. The closest he ever got was an AFC Championship game that he played on a torn ACL, which, hey, great, you know, great competitor, but it didn't work out. And this is really most likely his last chance to prove once and for all that he is a Hall of Famer, and we shall see. That being said, I'm going to pick the Bills to win. Steelers versus the Browns. So they just played each other. The Steelers nearly won with their backups. It was 24-22, but the Browns in Cleveland won, clinched the playoffs for the first time since, what, 2003? Since Kelly Holcomb was their quarterback. I'm pretty sure they played the Steelers in the playoffs again. Oh, no. Not a great sign. But here's the thing. The Steelers have not looked good down the stretch at all. And I know they rested their starters last week, which was smart and I think good for them. But I just don't think Big Ben has his fastball anymore. And I think the Browns, if they control the clock, run a lot with Hunt and Chubb, and Baker plays well enough, fairly mistake-free, there's a chance they can win. I'm not going to say it's guaranteed, but I am going to pick them to win, and we'll see how wrong I was next week. The final AFC matchup of the weekend, the Titans versus the Ravens. This is a rematch of the playoffs last year, and a great game from earlier in the season with Derrick Henry walking off for the touchdown. The Ravens, they're red hot right now. They're the last team I would want to play in the playoffs. I think that's not a very controversial take. The Titans, Ryan Tannehill had 40 total touchdowns. Don't know where that guy came from. Certainly wasn't that guy with the Dolphins. Good for him, though. Derrick Henry, probably the reason why Ryan Tannehill plays so well. He had 2,000 yards. He passed Chris Johnson for most in Tennessee history. So kudos to him. He's just a just a beast. Just a great football player. One of my favorite football players to watch. One of the things about him is he's so large and especially tall that when he's running, it doesn't look like he's hustling at all. It doesn't look like he's going very fast. Yet he's blowing by people and then running over the people he can't blow by. So with that said, I think Lamar Jackson was unfairly maligned this year. He turned in another really great performance. It's hard to live up to the expectations set by his MVP season the season before, but I think he is so good. And if I was a Ravens fan, I'd be optimistic about this game. And I, as not a Ravens fan, I'm still optimistic. I'm going to pick the Ravens to go into Tennessee and pull off the minor upset. So those are my picks for the AFC. Let us know in the comments what you thought about them and what your picks are. And we'll see you next week where either I'm going to be gloating or I'm going to be like, yeah, maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about sports at all. So on from the AFC on to the NFC. The NFC, man, I just, I'm not bitter. I swear. I'm not bitter about the Dolphins missing the playoffs while the, 8-8 Bears made it, or the 7-9 Washington football team made it. It's whatever, water off a duck's back. Let's move on. The Saints are going to destroy the Bears because they don't deserve to be there, and they're not good, and the Buccaneers are going to destroy the football team. Anyways, let's actually break it down. The Saints are going to be playing the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky lost this week, rather, against the Packers. Didn't matter. They got in because the Cardinals blew it, straight up. They blew it against the Rams, who didn't have their starting quarterback. And I recognize Kyler Murray was out for a lot of the game. He was injured when he came back in. Decided to run a speed option with an injured Kyler Murray with the game on the line. I don't know, is Cliff Kingsbury going to get fired? He might get fired. He probably won't get fired, but what are you doing, man? The Saints, they played well. I think they're moving in the right direction. I don't think Drew Brees is too, injured from his ribs being, broken. The one big thing is, when is this game going to take place? If on Saturday, Alvin Kamara might not be able to play, but if Sunday, he might. And I know people will be like, oh, well, the NFL is going to show their bias, whether or not they want the Saints to win or not. But I mean, I think they'll probably be put on Sunday because you want Alvin Kamara to play. He's a huge draw. He's coming off a 6-touchdown game. So we'll see what happens there. I don't see how there's any way the Bears can win this. So sorry, Bears. It's probably not going to be as particularly close picking the Saints. Seahawks versus the Rams. The Seahawks are probably going to win. Jared Goff might not play. The Rams are a good team, obviously. Sean McVay's a great coach. Their defense, Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the league. I don't think that's a controversial take at all. And they are solid, but I don't necessarily think they can win a playoff game against Russell Wilson in Seattle with a backup quarterback. And I know the offense for Seattle is pretty bad. The defense is decent, but I think Russell Wilson just, he has that it factor, that undescribable, you know it when you see it. He's a winner, and he's always played well in the playoffs, so you got to go with the Seahawks there. Washington football team versus the Bucks. The Bucks are probably going to destroy the Washington football team. I like Alex Smith. As I said, it's a fun story. I'm happy that he was able to get back out there. He's not mobile anymore. Obviously, the man had his leg destroyed, and he has a calf injury on top of it now. And he didn't play that well versus the Eagles this year. Or rather, this past week, he fumbled a snap that almost gave Philly the ball back and a chance to win. There's a chance that the Washington front four gets to Brady, makes his day hell, but I don't know. The Buccaneers have been playing just so well. It's impossible for me to see any other outcome than the Buccaneers beating the Washington football team, putting an end to Alex Smith's magical run, but a run he should be proud of, and he should probably win comeback player of the year. I would be very surprised if he didn't. So that's that. And I guess we can talk a little bit about the Packers clinch the one seed. Drafting Jordan Love at the time, very controversial, didn't like it. It seems to have set a fire under Aaron Rodgers. He's played lights out. He's most likely going to be the MVP. And I could really see the Packers going to the Super Bowl this year. I know that's not a hot take, they're the first seed, but it would just be hilarious that everyone complained like they didn't get him help. They were in the NFC Championship game. Why didn't they do this? Listen, Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't need help. He has Devontae Adams. He has Aaron Jones. That's all he needs. He can make everyone else better. He's playing like a man possessed, and I really look forward to their first playoff game versus whoever's still remaining from the lowest seed. Probably the Buccaneers. Yeah, probably the Buccaneers. That should be a great game. And the Buccaneers really took it to them before, but this one will be in Lambeau. It'll be cold. Not that Tom Brady's afraid of the cold, but I don't know how many other players are too comfortable in the cold from Tampa Bay. So that'll be interesting. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let me know what you thought about the picks in the comment section down below. Let me know who you think is going to win all these playoff games. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Wicked Sports is definitely a passion project of mine. If you know me at all, it's probably from the main channel, Wicked Good Everything, where we do Let's Plays, nerdy news, and video game and movie news. And I think doing Wicked Good Sports has been a lot of fun for me, even just 2 weeks in. It lets me talk about something I'm very passionate about that, you know, I couldn't talk about at any of our other podcasts. But if you're interested in our other podcasts, we have pretty much something for everyone. We have a podcast about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We have a podcast about Big Brother. We have a podcast about movies called Wicked Good Show. And we have a podcast coming out soon where we review older video games that people maybe have forgotten about called Not Nostalgic. That's going to be premiering in the new year on our channel. Link in the description below. It's Wicked Good Podcast. And again, if you liked what I talked about from Wicked Good Everything, go check that channel out, youtube.com/wickedgoodeverything. You can follow the channel on Twitch at twitch.tv/wickedgoodeverything as well. We have a lot of fun stuff planned in the new year for that, including, of course, Among Us streams. What would we be doing if we weren't playing Among Us? Everyone's playing it right now, and it is super fun. So if you're interested in any of that, please check out all the links in the description. But if you're just here for the football talk, I mean, I appreciate it, and I'm going to keep doing it, and we'll be having a live post-playoff show on Saturday and Sunday of wildcard in divisional round, and then on Sunday of championship round, and then, of course, following up the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday. So please, if that interests you, subscribe, and we will see you in the next one.